Thank you. Good morning to everyone. I want to thank Pastor John for the invitation to teach God's word this morning. It is a privilege and it is something I love to do. I'm doing a series of sermons on the I Am sayings of Jesus in the Gospel of John with you. And there are seven such I Am sayings in the Gospel of John. Last week, I likened these sayings to be selfies, self-portraits of Jesus that Jesus took of himself, or Jesus proclaimed or declared, which tells us more of who Jesus is and what he has come to do for us. Let's do a quick mental Bible quiz and see whether we can list out all the seven I Am sayings in the correct order that it appears in the Gospel of John. Are you ready? Let's try this. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. I wonder how many of you get all seven correct. Hopefully, by the time I finish with you all next week, you will be able to get all these seven sayings in the right order. This morning, we want to consider the second I Am saying in the Gospel of John. And it is found in John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. Turn with me to the Bible verse. Let me read this to you. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What we want to learn from Jesus this morning, what he means, and what Jesus is saying of himself when he says he is the light of the world. Now, when we come to John chapter 7 and all the way to John chapter 9, the setting is that Jesus has come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of the Tabernacles. If you look at John chapter 7 verse 2, in John chapter 7 verse 2, we read that, but when the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near, and so therefore, all the events recorded in John chapter 7, 8, and 9, it is set in the backdrop of the Feast of the Tabernacles. What is this Feast of the Tabernacles? Now, if you look at the law, there are three major annual feasts in the Jewish liturgical calendar that mandate every adult male Jew to come to the temple in Jerusalem to worship and to make their sacrifices. If you read Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16, Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 16, it is mandated that three times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place that he will choose. And the three great Jewish feasts are listed: the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, which is actually Passover, the Feast of Weeks, which is Pentecost, and the Feast of the Tabernacles, which is the Feast of the Harvest. This Feast of Tabernacles, the third feast that is listed, is also known as the Feast of Ingathering, the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Shelters, or the Feast of Lights. So if you read your Bibles, depending on which Bible version, you find that this feast is known by various names. Now, what this Feast of Tabernacles celebrates is that it commemorates the 40 years of wandering in the desert. And this is how the Jews at the time of Jesus celebrate this Feast of Tabernacles. They would stay in crude huts or shelters or booths made of palm or willow leaves for 8 days to commemorate the period of wandering in the wilderness, the 40 days, 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, where they, for 40 years, they stayed in temporary shelters. You know, it would be good if we Christians today can actually learn to celebrate this. Maybe perhaps instead of going for an annual camp, church camp in a nice hotel, you know, you put up tents in East Coast Park, and then you see what it is like to live out in the open. But whatever it is, we need to understand that, understand this bit of Jewish history if we are to understand what Jesus is saying about himself here. Now, if we look, if we backtrack a bit to John chapter 6, verse 31 to 35. In John chapter 6, verse 31 to 35, there is a comparison between the manna and the bread of life. And Jesus says that he is the new manna from heaven that is being sent from heaven for the people. And if you remember what we looked at last week, in John chapter 6, verse 31, Jesus says, our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And then Jesus proclaimed the first of his I am saying in verse 35, I'm the bread of life, and that he who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. So you see that even in the first I am saying of Jesus, I am the bread of life, it is set in the context of the history of their 40 years of wandering in the desert when God fed them with manna from heaven. And we have looked at this first I am saying last week. The Feast of Tabernacles is also known as the Feast of Lights, because in the celebration of this Feast of Tabernacles, it involves the lighting of lamps in the temple complex. For 8 days, while the people stay in temporary shelters, two great lamps are lighted in the temple at night to remind the people of the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire that accompanied and guided the Jewish people in their journey through the desert into the promised land. And against the backdrop of these lamps that are lighted in the temple, Jesus says this, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John chapter 8, verse 12, which is our second I am saying. To understand what Jesus means when he says, I am the light of the world, we need to go back to Exodus chapter 13, verse 17 onwards. Exodus chapter 13, verse 17 to 22. We read in Exodus 13, verse 17, when the Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. In verse 15, so God led the people around by the desert road towards the Red Sea. the Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. In verse 20, after leaving Sukkoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. And here comes the important verse. In verse 21, by day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. It is against the backdrop of these two bright lights, of the bright lights that were lighted in the temple, signifying this pillar of cloud by day and this pillar of cloud, fire by night, that Jesus says, I am the light of the world. This pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night represents three things which we want to learn this morning. First of all, it speaks of God's presence. Second, it speaks of God's protection. And third, it speaks of God's purpose. And so we are going to consider these three keywords: presence, protection, and purpose. We look at verse 21, which speaks of God's presence. Exodus 13, verse 21. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night, a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. You need to understand, as you read the Old Testament, that whenever God appears to his people, there is an appearance of this cloud. When they first celebrated and the tabernacle, there was this cloud that came down upon the people. Now, scholars say that this pillar of cloud and this pillar of fire is a theophany. A theophany is a physical manifestation of God. Another example of theophany is the burning bush that Moses encountered in the desert while keeping flock. This cloud that appears symbolizes God's presence with the people. In the day, when they look up to the sky, they see this big cloud over them. In the night, the pillar of fire would be the most visible proof of God's presence. Now, if you look at Numbers chapter 14, verse 14, Numbers chapter 14, verse 14, this is what we read when Moses was pleading with God not to leave them. He says, the people, they will tell the inhabitants of the land about it. They have already heard that you, O Lord, are with these people. You, O Lord, are with these people, and that you, O Lord, have been seen face to face. Why? That your cloud stays over them, and that you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. So does this cloud, this pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, is a symbolism, is a theophany that tells of God's presence with his people. We look next at the next meaning of this cloud and this fire: God's protection. It is by means that God saves them and keep them safe. Now, this is a very cloud that appeared on the day that the people left Egypt. And this cloud had stood between the Israelites and the pursuing armies of the Egyptians the night before the crossing of the Red Sea. This cloud served as a protective shield. It kept the people, the Jewish people, the Israelites, from being attacked by the Egyptian army. And throughout their 40 years wandering in the desert, this cloud was the primary means by which God protected the Israelites. Without this cloud, the people would have perished even before they entered Canaan, from either the enemies, the many nations that would have attacked them, or from the natural dangers of the desert, the scorching heat by day and the freezing temples in the night. And indeed, even as the Israelites left Egypt, Moses tells us how this cloud protected the Hebrew people from the Egyptian army. If you read Exodus chapter 14, verse 24, during the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and then threw it into confusion. About 2.5 million people left Egypt. There were 600,000 fighting men, and there were old folks, women, and children. And so if you just do your simple math, okay, of 600,000 fighting men plus old folks plus women plus children, we would come to a total close to 2.5 million people. Now, the desert region is one of the most difficult regions on earth. It is inhospitable. It is actually unlivable. And yet, the pillar of cloud gave them shade and protected them from the scorching sun in the day. And the pillar of fire not only provide them light, but also give them warmth and kept them freezing to death when the temperatures go down. And so we see that this pillar of cloud and fire represents God's protection. There is third meaning to this cloud and this fire. It is God's purpose. God's purpose as determined by His provision. God provides leadership and guidance to His people by means of the cloud and fire. This cloud is important because God is leading and guiding the people in their journey through the desert. Now, today, if you go to anywhere, we make reference to buildings. Okay, for example, when I first came to teach in Calvary Chapel, I was told that your church is located in Public Mansion. So we have a landmark building, so to speak, Public Mansion. But in the ancient world, and particularly in the desert, there are no landmarks in the desert. So how do you know where you are when traveling in the desert? And that's why if you read the Old Testament, okay, when you read about people like Abraham or Jacob or Isaac, we read of them setting up an altar beside this great tree or beside this well. Because in those days, there are no public mansion, you know, mansion or CPF building or DBS building in the desert. And so the only landmark they have are trees or wells that people have dug in the wilderness. And so this pillar of cloud by day and this pillar of fire by night are the landmarks in their journey through the desert. Today, how do we find our way? Well, in those days, we would have physical maps. But today, we turn on our GPS, our Google Maps, or whatever map that you have. In a sense, God is their GPS as they travel through the desert. When the cloud moves, it is an indication that they must move. Or if they remain where they are, when the cloud moves, then they would definitely be in danger. We read of this in Numbers chapter 9, verse 17. in Numbers chapter 9, verse 17, we see that the cloud of by day and the pillar by night, the fire by night, was the divine GPS. In Numbers chapter 9, verse 17, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Wherever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and then at his command, they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. When the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. So we see that when Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," in the background of the Feast of the Tabernacles or the Feast of Lights, when there are lamps being lighted up in the temple complex, Jesus is telling us, and we are learning, that it is in this context of God's presence. God is with them. God's protection. God keeps them safe. And God's purpose and God's provision, because God provides leadership and guidance. God provides leadership and guidance. Presence. Is Jesus my Emmanuel? Is Jesus your Emmanuel, God with us? Because if we say that Jesus is my Emmanuel, it must make a difference in the way I live. It must make a difference in the way you live, in the way you think, in the things that you say, and in the action that you do, and in the places that you go. Protection. Is Jesus my protector and my deliverer? Is he the one who saves you and continue to keep you safe? While we must keep COVID-19 measures like safe distancing and wearing a mask, in so doing, we are actually looking for a safer place, so that we don't get infected. I wondered, really, is there a safe place in this world? Ultimately, we must come to acknowledge that our safety is not in a place, but it is in a person. It is in our Emmanuel, God with us, who provides the protection and the safety. He is our hiding place. He is our fortress. He is our stronghold. He is our strength, our hiding place. And the third thing is God, your commander. When we look at the symbolism of purpose, God providing leadership and guidance. We have to ask this question: is Jesus my commander? Because if he's leading, are we then following? Are we following our commander? I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. As we consider this second saying of Jesus, "I am the light of the world," we have to constantly ask ourselves one question: who am I following? Who am I following? And Jesus says this: whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. As we follow Jesus as the light of life, it must make an impact. It must make a difference in three areas of our life. If Jesus is the light of the world, it must make a difference in the three areas of our life. It must make a difference in terms of our identity, our purity, and our responsibility. Jesus is the light of the world affects our identity, because we have become sons of light. If you look at John chapter 12, verse 36, In John chapter 12, verse 36, Jesus gives us this invitation. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you become sons of light. Jesus, as the light of the world, must affect our identity, because we have now become sons of light. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, Paul tells us that you were once darkness. You were once darkness, but now you are in the light. Live as children of light. Jesus is the light of the world. We are sons of light. We are children of light. And we must live as children of light. And so, Jesus, as the light of the world, impacts, change our identity to be children of light. And the mandatory requirement of living as children of light. And therefore, it comes to the second aspect of impacting our life, our purity, our purity. And Paul says in verse 9 of Ephesians 5 again, he continues what it means to live as children of light, living a life of purity. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. Find out what pleases the Lord. If Jesus is the light of my world, it makes me a child of God, a child of the light, and it must affect my purity. It must affect my purity. Third aspect, it must also affect my responsibility. It must impact how we carry out our duties. When we consider Jesus' identity in this episode, when he says, I'm the light of the world, the question was asked by the people again in verse 25 of John 8. In John chapter 8, verse 25, having said that he is the light of the world, the people asked again, who are you? In John 8, 25. And of course, it is in the background of Jesus' proclamation that I am the light of the world that he is asked this question. Who are you? Must impact how we carry out our responsibility. We have the opportunity for testimony and ministry. When people ask us, who is Jesus? It must also give us, it will definitely give us the opportunity for testimony and ministry. Paul again, continuing with his theme of how to live as children of light, in verse 15 of Ephesians 5. In Ephesians 5, verse 15, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Paul points to our responsibility to live as children of light. And our Lord Jesus Christ had already said this. Scholars say that Paul had in mind what Jesus said in Matthew 5:14. In Matthew 5:14, when Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. The people ask, who are you? In John 8:25. There will be people who ask, who are you as a Christian? And we must be able to say, just as Jesus says he is the light of the world, we must be able to say, I am the light of the world. And I'm going to let my light shine before men, that they may see my good deeds, so that God, my Father, gets the honor and the praise. Who is Jesus? He is the light of the world. It impacts our identity, because now we are all children of light. We are lights of the world. It must affect our purity. Jesus says, be holy, just as I am holy. And that holiness must carry through in our responsibility, that we must let our light shine before men. That we are lights of the world. Give us opportunities for testimony, for sharing the good news that Jesus is the light of the world. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this morning as we consider the truth that you are the light of the world. And because you are the light of the world, it impacts who we are as well. Help us, Father, to know that we are children of the light, and that as children of light, we are to live pure lives. It impacts our purity, and it gives us this responsibility to be light before men, to shine before men. So, Father, help us to know that you are the light of the world. You are the light of my life. You are my Emmanuel. You are present with me. You are present with us. You are our protector. And you are our purpose as you lead us, as you guide us. We thank you that, Lord, you have shown yourself to us in these three ways. And help us likewise to show you to the world that we live in. Because we live in the darkened world, a world that is darkened by sin. And we are indeed the light of the world. Help us, Father, to live as light. Help us, Father, to live as children of light. For all we all pray in Jesus' name. Amen.